Welcome to Speak in Flow, the podcast that helps leaders like you unlock the power of your voice, achieve maximum potential and flow through exceptional communication. I'm your host, Melinda Lee, and I am passionate about helping company leaders and their teams master public speaking, pitching with impact, and stepping into their full leadership potential. Thanks for tuning in to the Speak in Flow podcast, which is the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. When you stick around until the end, I have an exclusive gift just for listeners only, something that will immediately help you and your team up-level your communication. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we dive into unique stories and strategies to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow. Today, I am going to share and talk about something that I've been thinking a lot about, and it's about the power of our voice. And when a person with a powerful voice leaves this world early, we have a lot of questions, and it also echoes in time. It's about Charlie Kirk. He was 31 when he left. And you know, whether you agree with him or not in his ideas, I still often am wondering now, what type of legacy has he left in this world? And so that's the conversation we're having today. And to dive into this, I have an amazing, accomplished educator, speaker. She has leadership expertise over 20 years. She's also the Dean of Online Learning at Orange Lutheran High School. She leads innovative educational initiatives there. She also serves as a professor of organizational leaders and behavior, equipping leaders with success. She's a published author of From Striving to Thriving, founder of Karavitas Coaching and Consulting, Dr. Joy Karavitas. Hi, Joy.
Hello. Thank you for allowing me to join you today.
I am so excited and so grateful for your expertise. And actually, before we dive into the conversation, can you share about what you're excited about in your world, in the coaching and consulting world?
Well, it's interesting because I have two worlds that I kind of walk in daily. I have my responsibilities at Orange Lutheran, where I'm working with students and the future of our world, and looking at how education is changing and how we are approaching the way that students learn and people learn. And then I match that along with kind of what I do with coaching and consulting with adults and organizations who are on the other end of some of that. And I think there's a way that I get to merge those two passions together, because adult learning is based on what we learned a lot as students, and with the way we learn changes so much. And so when we're coaching people, whether it's individually or I'm working, conducting workshops at organizations, it's all about the learning process and how do we interact with each other? How do we continue to evolve and learn and grow as individuals? And bringing all of those worlds together, I think, gets to be kind of fun. It allows me to do a lot of different things that I'm passionate about.
Oh my gosh, and that's so important in our world, because we're evolving, people are evolving, and so the educational system should be evolving. And there was, but Charlie Kirk started off at college, meaning going to visit the colleges. Mm-hmm. And because he didn't agree on how the educational system was teaching, one of the things, he said that he didn't agree. He didn't think that the educational system was correct. And so what was your initial reaction when you found out Charlie Kirk had just been murdered?
So I honestly was not extremely familiar with who he was. I'm not very politically driven. And so I had an awareness of who he was. I had an awareness of his platform and his passion. But I wasn't, I hadn't listened to his podcast, or I wasn't familiar with any of his writings and things of that nature. But when I heard my reaction was based on the reactions of so many others, and so many others who were really experiencing a myriad of emotions, which made me kind of wonder, take a deep dive into who he was, say, who was this person? And like many, I was struck by the fact that he was so young. He had a young family, and anyone who it passes at a young age is, and especially violently, that is going to leave a mark on the rest of us. And I think that we that was one of the things I wanted made me kind of more curious about what was that message and what was he why was that reaction so overwhelming to so many? And so I did kind of explore a little bit more after that.
Yeah, same thing with me. I've known about him, I heard about him, but I think that for many people, he's, it's just gone viral. And there's so many more people that know him now because of this tragic incident. And so then I started looking and diving deep, more deeper into the videos, the podcast, because like you said, the reactions that people were having, my initial reaction was I was, sad. I was like, oh my gosh. His family, his kids. And then I was struck by, because of me being, podcast guest and communicator, the power of his voice and how he was able to galvanize the youth and so many people, and to the point where it struck a chord with the people that didn't agree with him so much that he had to get killed. I mean, that to me, it was like, what the response, the power of his voice. Whether you agreed with him or not, he was able to galvanize a lot of people.
It absolutely. It's funny on even in just when I'm working with organizations or individuals, we talk often, and I'm sure you've done the same about how words matter and the way you speak and what you say lives on. And it's once it's out there, it's hard to kind of pull it back. And so he was obviously very astute and very well spoken, and I think he understood that. I think he understood that he had a platform and he used it to espouse his beliefs and his strong convictions, but I think he understood that those his words had impact and that that they would have meaning and go far beyond whatever he was speaking about on that particular day.
I mean, but he was young when he started. He was 18.
Yes. Isn't that surprising? 18. I mean, I
18.
think back when I was 18, I had no clue.
Yeah, I know, me too. And so he had a passion, he had conviction, he wanted to make a difference at 18. So that's so powerful. And he did his homework, he got all his facts for him, what he believed strongly in, and brought that forward. And one of the quotes that he says is, and why he does what he does is because when we stop talking, that's when violence happens. So I think that's partly what fueled him. And so do you think that he was truly engaging in the dialogue and talking, or was he performing?
I do think he was engaging in dialogue. That being said, I do also think he was very confident in his own beliefs and his own passions and his own ideas. I think he was confident in that, but he did want to ask people about theirs. I think often when I talk with people, I talk about we need to listen to understand. Even if you're confident and you want to know a direction, especially, I work a lot with organizations who are doing change management and things, you have to understand where the other people are coming from, and you have to understand who's your audience. You know that, and so I do think that he was aware of that. And I know in his voice was on college campuses, and I think he understood the impact of that voice. But that's why he was trying to promote kids and college students, adults, young adults, to think about what they were saying, think about what they would believe, think about why were they, how did they come about some of these ideas, and not to just follow even him, not to just follow even his ideas. I know he's had what was that, prove me wrong, and he would ask them to challenge his ideas. And I think that was part of, he understood the power of those words and the power of words on both ends, both speaking and listening.
The whole idea of prove me wrong, I think he would even, I don't know what his intentions were, but the whole idea of it, I think that was probably what caused the divide. I think
Oh,
that.
undoubtedly.
Yes. I mean, because you're going to go into a debate and just prove each other wrong and try to prove each other's point. And then now we're like in a position where we're not trying to find common ground. It's like who's right and who's wrong.
I hear, yes, I hear that.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of took it a little differently.
Yeah.
I kind of took, I hear you, and I think
Yeah.
you're right from that perspective. I kind of thought he is confident. I don't think he really wanted to change his opinion. I think he
His
was
own opinion. No, he was not going to change his
trying
opinion.
to change others' opinions and getting them to think through why they had that opinion.
I totally agree with that. Right. He does try to help them think through it. But because he was so he was so cal he knew what he was doing. He had a lot of strong tactics in terms of questioning and asking them to think it through. And I think that when he knew how to guide them to the point where they could not answer the question and they could not really clarify exactly what they were thinking. And then so I think those were the viral moments. This is where I was thinking about. I think those are the viral moments he was looking for social media, for podcasts. But it was also for him really important for him to do that. I'm not, I think it's important for him. That's why he was so he actually and I started to look at how many people did he convert over? How many people did he actually change the minds of?
It's interesting. Part of, our nation's a bit divided right now on
Yes.
on two sides in a lot of areas. And I think if we could have dialogue, I go through two things. I think if we could really have dialogue and are really sitting down and interested in what each other is saying, I think that would help. But I
Yes.
think a lot of us, people are so set, and I wonder sometimes, why does it matter that other people believe the way I believe? I think for Charlie Kirk, I think his faith led that, and I think he was a very a Christian man, and I think his faith was genuine in that he thought that would change people's lives if they, understood more. But I wonder sometimes if why are we so why do we have to be right? Why can't we just say, okay, we disagree agreeably, so to speak.
Exactly.
Why
And I
can't we
think,
sort of get along that way?
yeah, right. We can agree to disagree, but I think the platform that he created, Prove Me Wrong, was not serving that purpose. It was, I'm right, you're wrong. I want you to think about it more clearly. And I think that it could help people that are listening or watching the podcast at home. But when you are at a platform and on stage with people, thousands of people around you, and then you're at the debate stage, he's not going to be able to convince that other person, especially if the whole goal is prove me wrong.
I think that
Right.
the idea is
Yeah.
the emotion of that moment.
Yeah.
The emotion of that moment, I think, can be more difficult. But I do think that, he was genuine in his ideas.
Yes.
I
I
think
totally agree. He was genuine. I think he was genuine. That's my, I think he was genuine. He didn't demean people. I don't think he was demeaning. He may have asked difficult questions to make them feel a certain way, guilty or shame or whatever. He did have some of these questions. And so I think that's ultimately what he was able to galvanize so many people to be one-sided. I mean, we probably already had these inherent beliefs as a nation because we're so divided. And that's what he was. He brought more people together. I mean, in terms of his mobilizing his beliefs.
Do you think that even those he disagreed with, that he genuinely cared about them and their thought process?
I think so.
I do too.
I
I
think
do
so.
too. I think it came from a heart of good.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
It did come from a heart of good. Unfortunately, I don't know if he was able to convince them. That's the unfortunate part of
Although
it.
I've heard that I agree. I mean, and some people you're just never going to win over. You just never are.
Especially in a platform, meaning especially when you're the spotlight. Maybe if he sat down and had a heart to heart in the house without people, all the people looking at you, then he could move something. He can help people see things differently. But because they're in the spotlight, it becomes something different.
So, do you think the platform that the message gets lost in the platform. Is that what you're saying? I mean, because I think you could be onto something. Some of these, Charlie Kirk is a good example, but even others who have a platform, and we talk about that, whether they're anybody, does the message get lost in that, or does it get confused?
Sometimes you could get confused because you know there's the spot, there's cameras on you.
Yeah, I think so.
Muddied, exaggerated. So he could exaggerate, it's taken a different, and then the other person will defend more. Like if I'm being questioned and I don't know how to answer the question, I'm going to defend my position even more. So I'm gonna really get upset at you because you're trying to take me down. You're trying to prove me wrong, and then that's where a lot of people that did not agree with him got upset.
It's yes, and I think that's true. I think I don't recall him getting upset,
No, he wouldn't ever get upset. He doesn't get upset. He's
but
really
I
calm.
do think that made others who striving to feel right,
Yes.
and that nobody wants to think that they're, especially if they're deeply held beliefs or if their convictions
Exactly.
are wrong. And so in that maybe is even what the original quote you were talking about, people stop talking that violence happens. Maybe that's some of that. When they feel they have no more words to be able to defend themselves, they react differently. And that might be what we saw.
Yeah, because they could not defend themselves. And then the anger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, so
I wonder what that means for the way we speak to each other, just as individuals and as humans, because most of us don't have a large platform like Charlie Kirk had. And so,
yeah.
what does that mean? How do we interact with just other individuals who may not always agree with us? I think about some of my best speaking moments, or some of those that I might, where I felt like I was really doing really well and in the flow, or
Yeah.
usually felt very confident about what I knew my subject matter. I felt very confident about where I was going. I felt really good about what I was saying. But those are, when we're talking to maybe five or 500 or 5,000, we really need to be able to think about who the other people are also, not just in how we're feeling when it's flowing, but who's your audience and what is that message we want them to have, and what is that message we want? Are we actually giving that message away to others, and when we're speaking and talking with people, and what does that look like,
Yeah, I think that
regardless of what?
regardless of the position, I think we want to remember, and I was not at those debates. I think we want to remember and remind people that regardless of our differing opinions, I hear you. This is my belief, this is my opinion. And I just want to let you know that I respect it. Let's just go on the basis of a shared respect for each other and then be able to talk about these things. And I think that he could do that in again back behind closed doors, but I think when you're on a platform and you're just trying to prove in positions and beliefs, and I think that that's where it becomes divided and could have divisiveness and dividedness because they're not seeing how can we come back to common ground and move forward together in agreeance, an agreement of something.
I think that's true. I think the platform changes that. I also think that even those who may have been in front of him in whatever platform he has, whether it's at a college or things, they're hearing one thing, but I think then social media,
Exactly.
the sound bites, and those then get spread apart, and I think that causes confusion
Right.
that of people who were not there in the room, so to speak.
Right. And so I feel like exactly. So the sound bites that they were sharing, we were not there. The sound bites that they were sharing only showed him being right and the other people faltering and not being able to answer the question. So now you're creating more people that are like, oh my gosh, Charlie's amazing. He's galvanizing, he's moving people, he's able to bring these our ideas together. And then you have the other side who keeps on feeling defeated.
Yes, and I think that you also have the social media sites that disagree with him, others that are coming out and saying, picking out words of certain things that said this was, he said this, and this, look at this, he's, some of the very
Terrible.
names and terrible things he was saying
Yeah.
about him. So I think
Yeah.
goes back into that. Everybody's just trying to prove their own position.
Yeah.
And they're using not always the best means to do it. And
Yeah.
we really could get back to, as he said, dialogue and stop talking and
Yeah.
listening. And really, I say often, I might have already said this today, listen to understand. If we're really trying to seek another person's perspective and understand where they're coming from, even if we don't agree with it, we can still understand it. I think we'd be better humans and a better nation.
I agree. I agree. So what do you think that his legacy did leave behind? What do you think that we should, what do you, in 10 years, what do you think that people will remember about Charlie Kirk's legacy? And what do you think that we should remember?
I think the violence of his death will always be associated with his legacy. And I think that's interesting to, he was 31. If he had lived to be 91, would it be a different legacy? I don't know. We'll never know. And I think that some of that will be associated with what he left behind. I think that for me, what I will remember is his passion and his confidence and his conviction of his beliefs. That really inspires me to know what is it that I value and what is it I truly am willing to, in some ways, die for,
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
since we have to think this man was essentially killed for his beliefs.
Yeah.
He had a different platform in which he was using them, but people disagreed with him.
And he
And
was killed for it.
he was killed for it. So what do I believe in so strongly that I would be willing to do that? That's a heavy question. So,
And he actually knew it. He actually knew he was creating that.
right, yes.
He was warning his wife, if something happens, this is what we'll have, I want you to take the business.
Well, yeah, and did you see his wife's speech at his funeral? It is. I mean, I'll remember that. I mean, her willingness to take that mantle on and to say she's going to continue on with whatever it is and to forgive those around her and to really just, and I remember it seems like that was hard for her to say. She knew it was what she was going to do, but it's not like she was fighting it. Didn't really want to, but was going to. Those were hard moments to watch. And yet I think that's part of his legacy, which goes back to the fact that he did, like you just said, he knew what the future could hold for him. And yet he was willing to con he felt strongly enough about his beliefs and his values that he was willing to continue talking about it.
Yeah, I hope that people don't just see it as he was right or wrong. I mean, that's just one-sided. It's not, let's like get more nuanced about what really happened. He was fighting her for his beliefs. He was passionate. He was convicted. He was able to mobilize the youth, and he was murdered for that, right?
Right.
And for me, I feel like I also will be reminded of the power of our voice, right? The responsibility that we have that goes along with it, with that confidence, with that conviction, the responsibility that you have, and how the impact that it can bring, and influence people. And then, yeah, and that I hope that people carry on the conversation to remember that and not just keep it like he was right or wrong. Or that the country is so divided. Like, how can we
Right.
learn from this?
I hope that we can, his legacy will help us to look beyond that, just as you said. We can look to how do we dialogue? How should we be speaking with one another? How do we, what, regardless of whether you agree with Charlie Kirk's belief system or not, how do we have dialogue about that, about the other things in our nation and in our world that, we need to be talking about that we could we could do better, that we can do.
Thank you, Dr. Joy. Thank you so much.
My
I agree
pleasure, my
with
pleasure.
you. Let's learn how to use our voice, how to connect. Because when we're using our voice, we're actually not just using our words, we're connecting. You can use it as a source of connection, of understanding, and making a difference in the world, a positive one.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much for letting me come along and have this conversation. It was a necessary one, I think.
Thank you. Me too. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you, listeners, for joining. I hope that you got your takeaway for today. And remember, anytime you have that conversation, just remember you're also connecting. I'm your sister in flow. Until next time, may prosperity flow to you and through you onto others. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye, Joy.
Bye.
That's a wrap on today's Speak and Flow podcast. I hope that you gained valuable insights to help you communicate with more clarity, connection, and confidence. Before you go, let me ask you this. Can your team communicate your founder story in a way that strengthens relationships and builds your company brand? If not, I've got a tool for you. Introducing, it's an AI founder story creator. This is a tool to help you craft a compelling story instantly that you can share with your team, and therefore your team can share with lots of people, building your brand. Grab this tool. In addition to creating immediately your founder story, you're also going to get one-on-one coaching with me so that we can continue to refine the story so that it's in alignment with your company messaging. Click on the link in the show notes, grab it today, and until next time, keep leading with confidence and courage.